God of the universe, maker of the stars, who am I that you would know my name?
Oh, no.
Well, well, well.
Welcome to episode 65 of Life on Purpose. And the reason that we're laughing is because we were trying to sit here and see who was going to bring the program in. Since David did a wonderful job of prayer prior to this, and I said, Daniel, Ryan, who wants it? And they both said yes. And so they decided to do our first ever on Life on Purpose, Rock, Paper, Scissors. And after five times, they still tied. So here I am, Mike Lee. It's my circus and it's my monkeys. Ryan Krebs, David Covert, and Daniel Clayton. So good evening, guys.
Man. We're now monkeys yakking. Yes. I love it.
Wow. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, three monkeys yakking, and out. I get to be the ringleader.
The ringleader. Oh, man.
Hey. Woo. Guess what? I just finished.
Oh,
the lead monkey.
Oh man,
yeah.
That was all too right, much. Guys.
Well, it was good to see you guys. We'll see you next week.
It's fine. Yeah,
that was it. That was it. Well, we weren't there around last week because you know, I had to go on a little impromptu trip with the wife. You know, I took that to heart when Mike said, "Your number one ministry is to your wife," and she was like, "I want to get out of here," and it was like, "Let's go." And went on a little longer, so we usually do things on Monday. So now it's here Tuesday, so
yeah, there you go.
Excited.
Ryan, you got great news of things happening in your life, and
yes, mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yeah, and of course Daniel is feeling better, which is a prayer request answered for all of us.
Yeah, seriously, finally, it's been quite a while since I've started to feel more like myself, so I'm happy to be back with myself.
So am I, and your mother's going to be very happy because she's been missing you and the whole family.
Yeah.
So,
oh, I know.
And I've just been
isolation.
Yeah, and I've been missing Blue. So you know, we'll see you pretty soon.
Man, well, okay. happy end of the world, everyone.
Yeah. Right? Hey.
Yes.
That's next Monday. Yeah.
That's right.
Next
that's right.
One, not yeah. This yes. One. Yeah. Next
so,
one.
So in honor of that, Ryan, you want to do the song?
It's the end of the world as we know it.
Okay.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah, yeah. which, of course, we would consider not the end of the world, but the beginning of the world, because, you know, that we would be looking to the ushering in of the millennial kingdom. So, but there's a lot of people out there that are buying their little glasses so they can go out and stare at, you know, the moon coming over the sun, and let's see mm-hmm. what happens. You never know. I mean, one of these days something's going to happen, okay? But until mm-hmm. then... We live our life on purpose.
Yes, on purpose. Exactly. You see, I've always, for the last, I don't know how many years, I can't keep track anymore of like how long I think about things.
You haven't been around that long, okay? So it hadn't been too long.
I know that, but I still like can't keep track of it. So,
go ahead and do that again. It didn't work.
Yeah, exactly. I wish people would stop trying to figure out when something's going to happen, because I keep thinking, like, I look back at all these things that we've gotten through, like mm-hmm. like Y2K and 2012 and just all these things, and I'm like, you know what, Yeshua said no man knows the day or the hour, and so if people keep saying I know what it is, maybe that was actually supposed to be it, but since they knew, you know, we had to reschedule. And so I wish people would stop trying to figure out when it is, because if you actually figure it out, we got to reschedule it again. Goodness wow. Gracious, people.
And that is why you tune into this program.
Yeah.
To hear
the deep theology of that. Like that. I got it. And of course, Ryan looking toward his screen there has to have some words of wisdom.
Yes, I was just looking up all the dates that the world was supposed to end through history.
Oh, no.
Ooh,
I'm going to make
some popcorn. We'll be into episode 66 by the time
exactly.
This is over. Okay.
Go, right, just a few
oh, moments. Wait. 66.
Oh, no.
Not 66.
Yeah, here we go. 66 and 70, 365, year 375 to 400, the 27th of May, 482, the 6th of April, 793, 800, 799, 806, 847, 992, 995, 1000, I could go on. I mean, there's a whole list. There's seven rows on Wikipedia.
They had one at 1,000?
In 1,000, yeah. The world.
Yeah, it was Y21.
Yep.
It was Y21.
That's it.
Supposed to end in 1705, 1708, 1716, 1719, 1734, 1736, 1757, 1773, 1780, 1789, 1792, 1794, 1795, 1793, and 1795 again. This is just in the 1700 list.
Wow.
Let's not go to the
1900s.
Right.
That is intense.
So you would think that by now we would have learned.
And
you would think that, wouldn't you?
You would.
But there's never been the almost being life on purpose episode 66.
Mm.
Dun, dun,
dun. Which would be scheduled just after the eclipse.
I mean, if something happened, we wouldn't be able to do that episode anyway, right? I mean, it's over. So actually, all this is coinciding at this point, if you think about it.
We're going to be blacked out.
Yes.
I mean, we're having fun. That was funnier than you guys gave me credit for. I know. That was great.
I was trying to like maintain seriousness, but like...
I was trying to take it somewhere, but that was actually great, Mike. That was wonderful, because I think we have to realize we're coming up with some of this stuff just joking around on the fly. I think that the... throw a pin on a calendar, and a lot of people like to take that and with biases towards that, they will run with something and then try to find every verse to coincide with that. I think there's a serious danger we find ourselves there. Could there be really neat coincidences that happen this and this and this happening? Yes. Does it mean the 7-year tribulation's happening, or the 3.5, or the trumpet sounding? In my opinion, there's only one person that knows that, and I'm just going to let him decide to figure that out when he's wanting to do that. I think that there's and this is where I think that the coming to the point of, like, we're joking about this, but there's a serious point of, we got a lot of young people watching this, and I'm not talking about like young people. I consider Mike a young person, right? I'm talking about like, it can barely put sentences together, and they already are listening to congregation members talking about dates and how this is all going to change, and how, well, you know, so and so is not even going to be able to drive a car because, you know, it's all going to be over.
Yeah,
like it's a major disservice, guys.
I think about some of the prophecies, like in Isaiah, where it says, you know, the foreigner shall be your plowman and your vine dresser, things like that, really practical ones. And you think about the day when Isaiah said that, and what did Isaiah see? What was he able to portray to other people? And what did they see? What did they think that would look like? Did they think that it was going to be a bunch of country bumpkins from a place called, you know, Tennessee, ending up in the land of Israel doing this? Yeah. You know, the wonderful, wonderful people of Hyattville. And I say that because, you know, we're close friends with them. And so, and they are 100% from the country, good people. But how... Who would have pegged that? Who would have pegged that Tommy Waller obeying the call of the Father would be the fulfillment of that prophecy?
Yeah.
And many others like it. What are the chances? And I think you can do that with any prophecy that has been fulfilled already. Mm-hmm. So what are the chances that it's not going to look a thing like we think it's going to look like?
Oh, yeah.
Yep. What are the chances that it's not going to happen any way that we can actually peg, because no one has been able to really predict, like, that's exactly like the abomination of desolations. You know, a lot of people attribute the, you know, what happened with the Maccabees as a layer of that prophecy fulfilled. Who would have pegged that to be what it looked like? All I'm saying is we have absolutely no idea. The older I get, the more I'm convinced that we have no idea what it's going to look like or anything like that. And it doesn't matter what it looks like. Like, that's not the point of it at all. The point of our lives is to walk daily with the Father and to believe that He is our daily bread. And that no matter what happens on this earth, prophecies or anything, that He will continue to be our daily bread.
you know, Daniel, we're in agreement, I think, that there's going to be a time in which things are going to be fulfilled. One of my favorite rabbinical quotes is, no one knows what is to be until it is. We're making a lot of jokes because we enjoy doing that. but we live in serious times. Okay. I've got a friend of mine whose son is in Gaza right now. And I just talked mm-hmm. to them on WhatsApp today and could hear the despair in their voice. I just sent a donation to Israel to help with some needs over there to keep some of these guys safe. And it grieved me to do this because I'm thinking, as I did that, if this war was not going on, where could I send that money that could have made a difference in a mom and dad with a new child in Jerusalem, maybe, or something like that. But we live in serious times, and we mm-hmm. should take it. But at the same time, and this is a quote, Daniel, you weren't here on Shabbat because of, being sick so much, but, you've heard me, and I think I've quoted this on this program, but this is out of this quote came about back in the 70s, I think it is. In the best of times, our days are numbered anyway. So it would be a crime against nature for any generation to take the world crisis so solemnly that it put off enjoying those things for which we were designed in the first place. The opportunity to do good work, to enjoy friends, to fall in love, to hit a ball, and to bounce a baby. In the midst of watching what's going on, and I believe we should, we ought mm-hmm. to also consider, well, to quote me, years ago when I was teaching a preparedness class, I said, in storing food, don't forget to cook breakfast. Okay. Because if you don't cook breakfast, you're not going to make it to the storage food. Okay. You're going to die in the process. So we need to learn how to live today to its fullness. If we continue to do that over and over and over again, when something happens, not if, but when things happen, we're going to be living it and prepared in the fullness. Ryan, I'll turn it to you.
No, you bring that quote up. I find it interesting that sort of even still to this day, there's this fad of that sign that was found in Great Britain, the poster, keep calm and carry on.
Mm-hmm.
And how that sort of resonates with today's society with a lot of people. I still see those, you know, people having those bumper stickers on their car, if you will, that say that. You know, in this movement and in the community of believers, I often hear the phrase of, you know, like, well, we're so excited that, you know, Yeshua is going to come back in our lifetime. That's wonderful.
Yeah.
You know, I'm very glad.
Yeah. I vote yes. But,
right. Yeah. I vote yes all day long. But what if he doesn't?
Mm-hmm.
Are you going to still serve mm-hmm. him with the same fervor that you are now? Yeah. You know, we're promised a reward, yes. But what about serving just to serve him because he's worthy of serving? And let the rest fall as it may.
Yeah.
You know, he talks about...
almost like...
Go ahead. No, go ahead, Daniel.
It's almost like we should seek first the kingdom of God.
Oh.
And then... all of these things will be added.
Oh, yes. Now you're talking silliness. It's almost like
that. Exactly. You know.
You mean we should quote scripture and actually live by it? Come on, Daniel. I raised you better than that.
Ryan started it.
Yeah, I know, right? Did. I guess we're dumber than sparrows.
Oh. Oh,
we can discuss gosh. That.
Wow.
Yeah, oh, oh no.
That sounds like a book title, Dumber Than Sparrows.
Yeah, I mean, next you're going to be telling me that, you know, God should call us sheep or something.
Oh, man.
Wow.
I'm itching. I love what you're bringing up, because I think that there's an inherent danger. Because I mean, I've been there. I love getting involved in like digging up stuff and going, but these dates correlate to this date and this date and this date. And you start seeing all the stuff and you're digging into it and you go, no way. There's no way possible. And then you say it. There's no way possible. This can't be true.
Mm-hmm.
And then you made it. We just talked about this. And then you made it a part of your foundation of your faith, because you've said, this mm-hmm. is how it's going to be. And then others hear you say that, and then they don't tell you, but they're holding you to that inadvertently. They're holding you to a mm-hmm. prophecy that you believe without a shadow of a doubt, or your teacher, and you have said this publicly online that multiple dates, and you've been wrong every time.
Yeah.
It's happened. Sorry. And unfortunately, this is not just within Hebrew roots. It's Christian. It's everywhere, right? It's a thing of, and I think that the thing is, we look at that, we realize that how I see it, and I could be wrong about this, it goes back to fear of the unknown, fear of, what if I'm not chosen and I'm not rescued? And what if I'm not paying attention and I'm one of the people that isn't going to be accepted? What if I'm, but that's the thing. We get so wrapped up in what could be the time. And we think then, because that then it right away brings us to, where is our condition right now? And the verse, we have all fallen short of the glory of God. So obviously we can look at ourselves and go, yeah, I could do better there. Yeah, I could do better there. And well, what if God comes back next week, man? I'm in deep trouble. This is something that goes through, especially young people's minds. Like I were talking about young, like when they first understand consequences of their life lead to a one place or lead to another place, right? They're immediately thinking that. And then you have like all those wonderful books of the rapture and whatnot, and that immediately hits like that. There's a lot of like guilt that flows right in through that. And I get the idea, but the thing is, I think we look at that. I remember Mike asked us once, what's Satan's favorite verse in scripture? And I remember just taking a step back going, wait a minute, what? Because I never thought of like, oh, so you mean Satan can use the Bible against us too?
Yeah.
Like really understood that, because we know mm-hmm. that he understands it, because our Messiah told us already that he knows it better than we do. We already know that. So we look at that, we go, oh, wait a minute. In our zeal for wanting to understand what God's maybe trying to do, we then start coming up with dates, and then the enemy uses it to go, ha, your future means nothing. Don't plan for anything. Don't do this. Don't do that. Oh yeah. Don't set up anything for the future of your kids. Everything's going to fall apart anyway. And then the future that's, now that's has been point. Robbed. Yeah. And Satan now has robbed that from a family.
Mm-hmm.
Again, it's not that, it's just Satan can use that. If that is the primary focus, can use that to rob future. Go for it, Daniel.
Yeah, no, misdirected zeal.
There you go.
That's a very good thing to acknowledge, because if you're out there and you are one of those people we're describing, where you find yourself having those tendencies, we're not calling you a bad person
mm-hmm.
by any means.
By any means.
There's nothing wrong with having that zeal, but we are human, and it is very easy to misdirect that zeal. We get caught up in like focusing on the wrong things. Like it's happened throughout all of human history. And that's just something we have to constantly, every single day, be directing our zeal and our love to the right place, toward the kingdom, toward the Father, toward the Messiah and what he has done for us, and understand that we don't miss out on anything at that point. You know, I was sitting here trying to think of an example when my children started walking in.
Well, you know,
it was appropriate.
I was going to say, Daniel, if you had listened to what some people told you a number of years ago, you wouldn't have those children walking in on you.
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
It's true. A relative of mine, she was told by her father, and while she was having children, her own father told her, "Well, why are you having so many children? Don't you know Jesus is coming back?" And it's just to hear that, yeah. So that's so you're right. You're not exaggerating when you say that. Like that is a legitimate thing. And I chose to live, and now I have a wife. I have children, and I was sitting here trying to think of an example of my children, because one thing that I hear people saying a lot is, "What if we get caught off guard? You know, we were not keeping our lamps lit." And it's like, listen, you do your best to stay attuned to the Father and what He's saying. But listen, like, if I tell my child to do something because they need to be prepared for it, and I see them trying, and I come to them and they haven't done it perfectly or something, listen, I'm gonna still grab my child and do the right thing for them. I think it's easy to forget of these days. I find myself using the word Abba in prayer more than any other name or title for God.
Yeah,
and it's so important to stay connected to Him as our Father, because a lot of the times, if our love grows, how do I say this? If we forget that He is a loving Father and He treats us as His loved children, His loved sons and daughters, then we start thinking of Him as someone who will treat us other than a loved son or a daughter.
Interesting.
That's something I think that's where, to your point of that, that's where I look at what was Yeshua doing when He was here, when He was walking amongst us in the flesh, when the living Word come flesh, what was He doing? He was asked this very question, right? And I can't help but wonder if He just looked at them and just went, "You guys are looking at that question. That's not even the most important question. Like, that's not even the question to ask." I just really believe that, because His response kind of dictates that He was like, "That's not really the point. Like, that's not really it. Like, that's not really the question to ask. That's not the look for, because that's where your focus is at." And we had that episode a while ago, where our focus is at, there we put our resources into. And that's the idea, is if we're just looking at the end times and we're just looking at end time prophecy, but neglecting what He said to come and do, which He said multiple times, take care of the widow, the orphan, the sick. And He said that throughout the entire scripture, that is the number one thing. To Daniel's point, if we're not doing it perfectly correct, but we're trying with every effort, we're trying with as much as we can, right? I mean, the story you talked about where there was need that was there and kids that could have gotten in a PlayStation or GameCube, whatever it was, they could have gotten something that they really wanted to enjoy, but they looked at the higher purpose and said, "No, I'm going to sacrifice to put towards something greater than something that's just going to bring me laughter." But I just can't help but think that I'm going to be looking at that. No, we got to realize there's other things to look into, that end time stuff. Yeah. Guess what? When it shows up, we'll go, "Wow, that was the perfect time. No way. That was cool. That all lined up perfectly. That was wow. God, that was amazing. I could have never written that up better. That was amazing." And so
you
good.
You just brought up James and Judd, their grandma, and a couple of aunts just showed up on my doorstep. I was watching.
Wonderful.
They were just here. But I think you were talking about the verses in Acts where they said, "Are you going to at this time restore self-rule unto Israel?" And Yeshua did not actually scold them for that. Mm-hmm. Instead of, He redirected it to, that's happening, but let me tell you about today. And I want to go back to something Daniel said. I never thought of it like this. You talked about the wise virgins and the foolish, those that did not have enough oil. They all started out with the same amount of oil. Now, how is it that you run out of oil? You have to use the oil. Now, consider this, that if you use too much oil, instead of resting during the times you're supposed to, you're going to run out of oil early. So were they staying up in the evening worrying too late instead of resting in him? And so because of that, they ran out of oil and didn't have enough, because we all have limited amount of oil and we have to make decisions. I think this will ring true to some things we were talking about before the program. We all have to make decisions based upon the amount of oil we have, that we make sure that we have enough to last until the end. And that may be some very difficult decisions.
Mike, you make a very good point about resting. And I love the way you put that. That was like, that makes me think of that whole way a lot differently. And I think that that's one way that you could absolutely look at that. And I think that I like that way a lot. In the season that I'm in right now, I'm realizing how much, okay, everything's in balance. Let me preface this. All right. So don't stone me, but how much when God says this is a day of rest for you, how much that like finding rest in him is really amazing. And not like you've been on the road before. There's some Shabbats that are just straight work, and they're just straight moving. And it's a lot. And man, there's those times where that Shabbat where you're like, you know what? I need the Shabbat with my Abba. Like, that's where I need this Shabbat. I need to be away. I want to fellowship, but I actually need to just be alone with him at this point. Yeah. I need to be in my closet. I need to be in that place, and recognizing how much that resting just brings so much more oil, if I could say that, back into my life versus just constantly. I think that God is not the kind of person that goes, well, you better just grind it out. Nope. I think that because it's very grind culture in this day and age. And we have to remember, God's not grind. He's not about the grind. He's about, I think it's that walk, the fruitfulness of the walk, if I could say it.
There's a time for work and there's a time for rest.
Yeah.
Yes.
Bingo.
Yeah.
Beautiful. Perfect.
Yeah, there's a time to use your oil. 24/6.
24/6. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I can't believe you're saying what you're saying right now. Like, you talk about the closet. And I this is one of the reasons it's so important to be connected to God's people. At least someone else that's seeking God and that you can talk to and bounce things off. Because you start to know patterns, you start to notice patterns and subjects and things. And man, I got slapped upside the head by God the other day. And it was wonderful. I was on my way back from our meeting about a month ago, Dad. And it was kind of later at night. I had a 3-hour drive home. It was dark. I was listening to some kind of more upbeat music to, you know, keep myself awake and alert and all that kind of stuff. And just started feeling him tell me, like, turn the music off. And I'm telling you, the second I turned that off, he started just speaking so clearly to me. And he's like, I've got you. You need to turn that off because I've got you right now. Mm-hmm. Like, I needed this quiet time with you because I can't get you to stop and be quiet long enough for me to say what I need to say to you. And he took me to the closet. He told me, you have got to go to the closet and spend time there every day. You have to, I need you there. I want you there. And so it started, that's what I've been doing a lot in the last 3-4 weeks since then is being in the closet and that alone time with him. And he has just been absolutely pounding into me how important it is. And so to hear you say the same thing is just
wow,
so cool.
That's good. Man. Yeah, there's a time for conferences. There's a time for meetings. There's a time for all of that. And then there's that important alone time. Yeah, I'm sitting here listening to you guys talk, and it's relevant in both cases of listening to you guys talk, and also even with the Father. It says even a fool is thought wise if he is silent.
Oh, Oh no.
I'm glad you brought up that point with the oil, Mike, because I had never looked at that scripture, that verse, that way.
I had never either.
And you know, there's somebody listening going, well, that's because they ran out of oil in their bunker, you know. Or...
yeah.
Get it. Store up on oil. Cool.
Yeah.
Don't make that your life purpose.
But no. It was what it was, like you said, they all started out with the same amount. It was what they were given. And it was not oil that was obtainable. If we kind of condense the story, it doesn't seem that it's an oil that's obtainable by a exterior supply.
It's,
if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. If, to work it's, off of, oh, go ahead. Keep going.
No, it's a finite amount.
Mm-hmm. Got it.
And it's where they're applying it. I'm breaking it down here,
mm-hmm.
in a sense.
Mm-hmm.
Cause this goes right back with what you guys are talking about. I think sometimes we want to judge our walk. You know, we confuse that parable with the other one about does a man light a lamp and put it under a bushel.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, we confuse that with, well, let's see how bright we can get our lamps to shine. Let's use all our oil and, you know, in one go. Versus utilizing our gifts, our talents, our lives in such a way that we're using it where God wants us to be, tactfully,
mm-hmm.
with purpose, you might even say. And I think sometimes we get caught up in saying yes to everything that people call, well, there is God. Well, here he is, he's in the wilderness. Look, let's go there.
Yeah.
Look, let's go here. Instead of actually seeking him and finding out where he truly is, where he says he is. Does that make sense? Am I just rambling here?
I wanted to put the analogy of, you're talking about, like, they talks about the race. This whole thing is a race. It's not a sprint. There's an endurance period. There's a period that's, we got to pace. I think that, in our zeal to want, like, misguided zeal, sometimes we just want to just flat out run as fast as we can. And there's nothing wrong with that necessarily. However, there's a point where you're going to run out of steam. And is your foundation solid enough to be able to, excuse me, is your foundation going to be solid enough to bounce you back up to a father, essentially, where when you're sprinting with everything you have and now you're panting. I've seen too many people pant and they're running flat out and then they start panting and then they start freaking out about, like, freaking out in the sense of they start realizing that maybe some things that they thought were, they held true, whether it was a date or whether it was something else that they thought was the clear picture from God, they then just collapse and there's nothing. And they're faced with that reality of, mm-hmm. where is my faith at in this very moment?
Well, you know, there's,
and that
there's,
can be very scary.
There's an old adage, an old story about a lumberjack. He was, you know, he's getting older, and this young guy comes along, and he decides to challenge the older lumberjack. And he says, "Old man," he says, "you know, I want to challenge you to who can chop down the most trees in a day." And the older gentleman said, "Okay, no problem." And the young guy, of course, was taunting him and everything. And they met the next morning and started chopping down trees. And the young guy was just going after it. And at the end of the day, the older gentleman had actually chopped down more trees. And the young man said, "Oh man, I just don't understand. I mean, I worked the whole day. You were sitting down a lot. What were you doing?" He says, "I was sharpening my axe." Yeah. Taking time to sharpen your axe is a good thing. Taking time to rest in him. And you know, we're on the Torah portion of Shemini, which is eight. And I won't talk about eight, but a friend of mine in Israel wrote a commentary that I taught on out of today of in order to understand eight, we need to understand six and seven. The number of six, in scripture is about physical reality. Okay, he created the heavens and the earth in 6 days. And I'm crazy enough to believe it was actually 6 days because that's what he said. But the seventh, number seven, which is Shabbat, is the revelation of Yah's involvement in the physical reality. So what you guys are saying is that time of rest is when we stop and we realize, acknowledge, and give him thanks and worship and praise for his divine involvement in our physical reality.
I love that.
Yeah. You know, something, a prayer that's very common in a lot of Jewish prayers is, you know, blessed are you, Lord our God, who has created us and sustained us and brought us to this day.
Yeah.
And I incorporate that a lot into our Friday night prayers. Just, I always thank God for bringing us through another week because, you know, just for that very reason, what you're saying, you know, you guys were talking about like the endurance and all that kind of stuff. And it just made me think of how, you know, a candle like has a really bright flash right before it goes out.
Yeah.
And is it better to be a candle that's always like got that flash of brightness and it goes out and it's got to be relit and all that kind of stuff? Or is it better to just be steady and lit and you just, your flame is just there? People are attracted to that. I think more and more these days, people are attracted to steadiness.
Yeah.
Someone who is not shakeable, who is not moving with the wind, and or just being able to movable like water, just adhering to whatever vessel they're placed in at the time and filled out all over the ground and got to be picked up. They're attracted to steadiness. You know, not someone who never has problems, but the problems just don't affect them the same way. And that's that candle. That's that light that just stays lit and doesn't get blown out by every little breeze that blows.
We were talking about mentorship a little bit ago, a couple weeks ago. That's what you're looking for in a mentor. That same idea. Someone who's rock solid, steady, but whenever something is coming to and fro, they still remain and they still have this steadfastness. And someone said that. It's like, I think that that's one of the most overlooked fruits of the spirit is that steadfastness. And I'm looking at that going, he's right. Like that is really something that now I look at with people now going, they've stuck with it. And they didn't get caught up in some of the stuff. And again, please hear us. I get it. It's fun to look into this stuff. But remember, when it's your primary purpose, you start to, unfortunately, there's some consequences that can happen from that. And that's what you need to take into account. Because as Ryan already showed, there's way too many dates of when it was supposed to have all been over. So forget that. If we're just focusing on that, continuing to stay steadfastness, looking at the fruits of the spirit going, man, which fruit am I weak on? If you're willing to do that, that's scary to do, by the way. Which fruit of the spirit am I relaxed in or not very good at? God, how can I get that better? Don't say I didn't warn you. It's a fun time. So yeah. I think that does more than anything, especially with the ones who are looking at you as a role model, whether it be your kids, whether it be someone else's kids looking at you. Remember, like they're watching you. I'm remembering when I was a kid looking at my parents and then their friends and how they were talking about some of this stuff. That stuff shaped me for a long time until I realized why they were doing what they were doing. And now I have a bit more like compassion towards them they did what they did. But when I was a young child, I thought I was never going to drive a car. I thought I was never going to get married. I thought I was never going to have any of that because man, Y2K was right around the corner. Yeah. It was over. That was it. Yeah. Done. It's like, but that was just a scare. And I think whenever these scares happen, I think it's the test where's the body of Messiah? Where are they going to stand when that happens? Are they going to like you said, is it going to be like moving along with the wind, getting caught up in some of this stuff, or are they going to be steadfast and whatever God's given them, they just hold on to it even more, right? I'm assuming Hayuvel, they're not shutting down because they're not going to shut down because the eclipse is here next Monday. They're gonna keep going until they're shut down, until they can't do it anymore. Yeah. There's no one left. They're gonna keep going, and that's something to look at. Hayuvel's doing it. Let's just keep doing what Messiah did so long ago. Let's just keep doing that.
I'm still stuck on the lamps.
as you contemplate your lamps, just a second, since I'm remembering something, back to, you know, the these things that are happening. I'm old enough to remember 88 reasons why Jesus will come in 1988. Okay, I got the book. I can show it to you. But I think I got two copies. But, you know, I was really involved. I was early, a young follower of Messiah, and we got very involved in that. But at the same time, and this was September 11, 12, and 13, Rosh Hashanah, 1988. There was some compelling things that were happening, okay? But here's my point is I heard somebody say, well, if he doesn't come on those days, I'm not going to follow him anymore.
Bingo.
Really?
Mm-hmm. That.
I looked at that and went, you're dumb, you know, because my redemption was not based upon a date. My redemption was based upon a person that right is there. Everlasting from beginning to end and backwards. And so when his return was not on September 13th, I was not shaken over that. I just kept going. And so, what I want to instill in people is, hey, if something happens this week, all right, am I going to be prepared? Probably, because you guys know me well enough. You know, that's kind of how I live my life. I'll put gas in my car, make sure I'll have bottled water. Why? Because we always have bottled water. We'll have some extra food. Why? Because we always have extra food. I learned that from my grandmother. Being prepared is not something I'm going to start on Monday morning. It's something I live my life by, because I believe that just as the ants store up, that we are to do not out of fear, not out of fear. I've never gone and bought something out of fear. I don't think. I hope not. But if I did, it'll probably break. I bought it.
Right.
Yeah. Now that I'm thinking about it, but
that's a good one.
Remember that I said that. I try to be directed by him, and Kathy does the same thing. We both have our different things we prepare in, and hopefully they'll complement each other. But in the end, you know, I'm not afraid of the consequences of being with him. It's just not there. And so, you know, if the end of the world does not happen and Ryan doesn't get to sing, you know, while it's happening, it's not going to shake my faith, because my faith is not in the Son. My faith is in the Son and in the Father. Mm-hmm. And that's where I live my life. And that's how I want to continue. Go ahead, guys. We got to wrap it up, by the way.
Yeah.
Ryan, lamps.
Lamps. Yeah. So it's interesting that the parable and even what Yeshua is called, he's called a lamp unto our feet. And it's interesting to me, he didn't give them floodlights. Because a lamp requires, for you to enjoy its light, it requires you to draw close.
Yeah.
Whether that's in relationships with others, and hopefully they'll bring their lamp and make things a little bit brighter.
Yeah.
Or to the Father himself. And it also, you know, in watching somebody carry a lamp through darkness, you can't always see what they are seeing ahead of them. But it provides enough light that you would be able to see and follow.
Mm.
And in walking, you also can't see that far ahead. You can only see what's within the glow of that has been given to you to see, the lamp unto your feet. So perhaps as we're walking with our lamps, let us draw nearer to the lamp of the Father.
Mm-hmm.
Let us not look too far ahead and get ourselves in trouble. But let us guide a way or lead a path that others may follow as they see us walking. And let the rest of this fall as it may.
Got it.
As the Father wills.
I like it.
Think about when you're playing tag at night for like young people and you guys are playing like tag at night. You're looking for any glimmer of light to try to reflect someone else's position wherever they're at. And if you think about, like, especially if you're it, right, and you've got to go after them, you're looking for anything. So the same kind of idea that Ryan just said, if you're walking and your lamp is steady and you're just walking, others who are trying to find that are going to be drawn to you just no matter what. That's what you're talking. And then the more and more that happens, kind of the little bit of the future we get to maybe are able to navigate around. But again, the light's going to guide us. The lamp into our feet is going to guide us. I love that you said that, Ryan. That's beautiful.
Yeah, I like it. Daniel, closing words?
My closing words could be summed up by the last 45 minutes or so. no, it's a man. We were talking about the closet and the quiet place, which requires closeness and nearness. And now you're talking about the lamp, which requires closeness and nearness to be aware and to be able to see. And so I want people to understand that we like really understand that we have no idea what we're going to talk about when we turn that thing on record. Meaning we have an idea, but we don't know what God's going to do. We don't know where it's going to take us. And here we are having discussed this whole thing, which was completely on the fly. And it has come about through things that each of us are experiencing right now that we had no idea the other one was experiencing that, or that thing that you said off the fly was going to impact that person so much. Yeah. Like, understand that God moves like that and he speaks like that and he knows exactly who you are and what you need. And right now, this is what God has painted in this picture here. And I really hope people reflect on that topic of nearness and closeness, because it is clearly what he wanted us to talk about.
Yeah.
Because it wasn't what we had planned. I can show you the text to prove that. You know,
it sure wasn't.
I want to finish up with an Israel moment. Tomorrow is 180 days. There are, let me get the numbers here. There are approximately 134 soldiers, probably less than 100 are alive. There's been 1,200 Israelis killed, almost 15,000 wounded. They went to bed on the evening of October 6th, not knowing that October 7th, by the time they woke up, their lives would change forever. Life would not be the same that next morning. We don't know as we're talking. We had a great, great program planned, guys. It was going to be amazing. Whatever. We don't know if life will change tomorrow morning or by tonight. Next month, Daniel and I and Kathy celebrate, I guess we celebrate the 14th anniversary of a tornado going over our house. Life changed. You never know when life is going to change. But if you know him, you know this, that he has established you for that change and will guide you through that change in order to affect other people's lives. Because no matter if we're on this side of an eclipse, that side, this side of a tribulation, that side, whatever you're on either side of, he has plans for you, for good, not for evil, to give you a future and a hope and to share that with other people. Thank you, guys. Been a great program. Enjoyed it so much.
Till next time.
See you next time.
You alone hear my every prayer. You're the God who's always there.